What's up, guys? Welcome to the Social Bamboo Podcast, teaching only the fastest and most sustainable social media growth strategies out there. I'm your host, Derek Vidal, and on today's episode, we are talking about 13 Instagram design tips for non-designers. Whether you use Canva or you use Photoshop, it doesn't matter. I'm going to give you some design tips. Now, of course, you always have the option, well, not always, but generally, anytime the episode could benefit from having a visual aid, I do make a YouTube version of it. So it will be a condensed version too. So I will be giving some extra value and going off on the tangents. You know how I like to do that, but it's usually going to be some good stuff that I'll add on the podcast that will be extra. But I was going through all 13 of these tips and I was like, can I even do this as a podcast? Is this okay to be an audio or does this really need to be visual? And no, like you can totally just learn these from listening to them. So that's what we're going to be doing today. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast, review it if you got a second, because I know you do. You're listening to a podcast right now. Just click the 5 stars, even if you don't write the review. Hey, give me whatever stars you want. I'll leave it open to you, but wait till this episode's over, unless you're just going to do a 5. Do a 5 now. Otherwise, give me a chance to make it a 5 by the end of this episode. So we're going to be doing 13 Instagram design tips for non-designers, and the reason why it is phrased like that is because I am horrible at graphic design naturally. There are a lot of skills in entrepreneurship, marketing, email marketing wise, just content creation in general that it doesn't come super natural to me, but it certainly isn't a stretch for my skill set. Graphic design has always been a big stretch for what I am naturally good at. And this is just something that I've had to get down to a science. So I'm going to be explaining these 13 rules of design that I follow when I create infographics, and it makes it just a lot quicker for me to do so. So the first one is in choosing colors on your account or even just colors on a post. One more thing I want to say though before I get into this. If you're an amazing designer and you are really great at messing around with a ton of elements and still making it look great in the end, these don't necessarily need to serve as your rules. These are just like the rules that I place on myself to know how to narrow my thoughts, because otherwise I just test everything to infinite extent. I just keep messing around. I'm like, oh, what about like these 7 colors? And like, what about the purple being a little bit, darker here? And I just like play around with it forever. So these are rules that I follow in order to be a lot more efficient with my design. So for colors, I pick 2 colors, a darker one and then a lighter one, and then either white or black. And that will be going into an infographic. So if you're making a carousel or just even a single image infographic, I know that's not really where everyone's attention is. We're more on reels, but whenever you're going to do something like this, if you just stick to a couple colors, like let's say green and then yellow and then white, or green and yellow and black, but the post is more yellow dominant. So if you have black text, if you have a lighter background, it's always black text. If you have a darker background, it's always white text is another rule that I do with the color. So, it's basically 2 colors and then either black or white text is what I should have said, not just 2 colors and then black or white. It's just picking whichever text. And then that will always just be reflective of, like, I would never do white text on a yellow background or black text on a green background. That would just violate my rule. So you always just do the inverse there. And that always makes it very legible, easy to see. And like I made an Instagram post about recently, you never want to sacrifice messaging or marketing clarity for fancy design. And this is something that a lot of people do on their websites where maybe you make like all this vertical text or it's like some kind of wordplay and it's, just over design to the point where people don't even know where to start reading on your website. And if it's not obvious where people should go on your website, they don't spend the extra second. They just leave before they even give it a second thought as to where they should be navigating to. So you really want to keep your clarity when designing, first and foremost. The second thing we're talking about is fonts. So Again, this is with infographics, and you can see examples on the YouTube video if you want to later. If you're listening on the road now, you can go back later to the YouTube video, see what I'm talking about. It's simplest just to have two fonts. So you have a headline font and then a body font. So for mine, I do League Spartan as my headline and Cooper Hewitt as my body. And you can just reference those if you want. But I mean, you can just go on my Instagram at socialbamboo_ and just go to any of my infographics. And it just is always those two fonts. If you go into it every time and you're like, all right, which font to use? There are so many fonts. You know how long it takes. And I am okay switching these fonts at any time. I will tell you that. I don't really care about, all right, you got to stick with it forever. It's not that people get to know your font super well. They do, though. They really do get to know your branding font. So once you do find the right one, you do want to stick with it. It is good to have that branding where people recognize you for certain fonts, even if it's totally subconscious. But it is okay if you're like, I am totally sick of these fonts. I really should have done different ones. I think almost every online entrepreneur is going to switch their fonts maybe one to three times. If you didn't, that's great. You probably were already a good designer at first. But like I said, that's not me. So what I thought was good fonts before is not good fonts. But yeah, two fonts, a headline one and then a body one. And for text variation, you're just going to either bold them, italicize them, or use the thin and thick options on them. So it's not like you always just have two kinds of text. Like if I have like Cooper Hewitt and then I want to like really emphasize a point, like in my body, I can bold it, I can underline it, you can italicize it. And then Cooper Hewitt has like Cooper Hewitt heavy, Cooper Hewitt light. So I'll use all of the variations within that font too. So that's a good thing to look for your body font, is one that has more variables to play around with, because some of them don't even let you do like bold. You can't even bold some of the fonts. So I probably wouldn't mess with a body font that doesn't give you much room to play around with. Third thing we're going to be talking about is alignment. So when you are, this is just for Instagram posts, by the way. I do use these rules for website design, but more loosely, I've realized. These are more strict when it comes to Instagram 4x5 or 1x1 little infographics to your website. These can still serve as good guidelines, though. So alignment. So center alignment, left alignment, or right alignment with your text. A lot of people love doing center alignment. However, I feel like if you use more than like four or more lines of text, it's not good to do center alignment. It's better to do left alignment. Few exceptions to that, and you really have to be a good designer to really see it. But when you use center alignment, the starting point and the end point of each line of text is different. And this just takes a lot more energy for people to read. And a lot of this is subconscious, but it still translates to results. And that's the thing, having this awareness of how to make your content really resonate with people the first time they see it and not just scroll on. They don't even know why they scrolled on. It was because you use center alignment with like seven lines, and they all had different starting and end points. So center alignment with three or less lines is what I do, because center alignment does look great when it's used properly. But three or less lines, I use center alignment. Three or more lines, I use left alignment, and then I just don't use right alignment. I've messed around with it a few times. It looks awesome when you can do it right, but for someone who's not a designer, naturally, anytime I try to incorporate it, it's just a long whirlwind of me trying to make it work for a couple hours, and then I realize that left alignment just looks better. So I just don't use any right alignment when it comes down to Instagram infographics. Fourth one we're talking about is to not overlap elements. The most common way that I see people do this, if you're making an infographic in Canva or Photoshop or whatever, and you set a background and it's a very busy background, and then you put text over this busy background. So maybe it's like a bunch of cities. This is one that I did in the past, and I had no idea why I couldn't get this infographic to look good. And it was because I had like this like city skylines in the background, and then I just had white text over them, and then I have like some shadow on the text, which is something that I almost always do, by the way, like messing around shadow effect on elements. Every element really is usually just something that I play with a lot, but it's not one of the tips today, so I'll just mention that real quick. But over the city, which is super busy, I couldn't get anything to appear. You couldn't really read it, or it wasn't just like, you really had to spend the extra time really looking at it to digest it. And that's not good. So just use text over blank space. If you're going to pick a background, use one that is maybe busy in the corners, but really like there's nothing going on in the center of the infographic. You don't want to be putting text over something that could be an Instagram post in itself had there not been text over it, is kind of the rule there. Like that city would have worked as an Instagram post in itself. So it's just too much going on. Use text in blank spaces only. Fifth one is to use templates. Now, there are a lot of amazing templates in Canva, so feel free to run with one of those. But ultimately, I mean, make your own template. So maybe start with a Canva one, then modify a little bit. If you can just start your infographics off with some kind of template, or at least like a lot of times I don't have like this blank template that I just restart every time, or like what you'd have to do in Canva is copy it. Like you'd go into your template and then you'd copy it and then you'd modify the new one. Great way to do it. I just accidentally start editing the original too many times. So a lot of times I just kind of like edit from previous posts. I just kind of like redo the previous posts. Maybe not the best idea if you want to keep all of your work in Canva, but I was just kind of moving on. So I would just go in and just edit my last one. But if you want to watch the YouTube video, you can see exactly what I'm talking about with some of these template examples, but it just makes it a lot easier to know. Not only am I doing this headline font, this is the size of headline font that I do. And then this is the size of body font that I do. And this is going to be more for educational infographics that it's easier to template. But nowadays, reels are so much better. So I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but I know you guys still have infographics to do sometimes. The sixth one is use all caps for headlines. And it's just because you want to create a clear text hierarchy. And what this means is you want to use elements to your advantage, or design it to your advantage, to make the text you want people to read first have the true hierarchy on the page in a few different ways, all right? And this just makes it so, it's like when you go to Qdoba, all right, or you go to a burrito shop, when you walk in those doors, like Chipotle or Qdoba, like one of these main ones, you're already in the line, right? You can't mess it up. You walk in the doors, you're already in line. It like a lot of the mom and pop shops, a lot of times why I don't go to them is like, I don't know what to do when I get in there. Like, what do I do? Like, is it going to be obvious? It probably isn't that hard, but to the mom and pop who designed it, like they know like, oh yeah, you walk to the back counter, you order, and then you'll want to sit down because it takes like 15 minutes, right? I don't know. It's like, should I stand here and wait for the food? Like, is it quick? Like, I don't know. And a lot of that, I don't know, keeps people from going. Like these other restaurants, they just get rid of, they just make it the clearest path possible, all right? And that's what we're doing here with the text on your website. You do want people to read it in order. It should be displayed in an order of, like, if someone came to your website even and was like, all right, brand new to this company, you wouldn't want the first thing to be like, just about some random event that your company is doing for its customers, and but like they'd have to be on board and in your community already. And then the next thing is the About Us company page. You get my point. It's just like it can't be in the wrong order. So using all caps for your headlines, and this applies for design in every way, is just kind of a cop out that I do, where, like, especially on the infographics on the first slide, if you're doing a multiple slide carousel. If you just use all caps on that first slide, it always looks really good and it always grabs attention. The seventh one is to use boxes behind your text. And this is one of my major breakthroughs on my Derek Vidal YouTube channel, is simply whenever I'd like make this thumbnail and I'd have like just, you know, 3 to 5 words on the thumbnail that would try to inspire curiosity in some way, you know, it's a thumbnail. It was so hard for me to find out how to really get this text to pop, especially because a lot of times my thumbnail would start as me at my desk as the background, and then I'd be putting elements around it. I'd be putting text around it, but behind that text was like a plant, or behind that was a curtain or something like that. And the text, it was very hard for it to always like stick out. As soon as I would just put a rectangle behind the text with just a little bit of cushion around it, And I do it for each line, okay? If I have like three lines of text, I wouldn't put one big square. I'd do three separate rectangles behind each line of text. And it's easiest to just keep them all the same color, but if you're a good designer, you can even do all three different colors. Just doing that makes the text so much clearer, as you can obviously guess, because when there's just a blank background behind it with, just a color that is totally opposite either the white or black text that you would use, then it's easy. And by the way, the white and black text rule I use for everything, YouTube thumbnails especially. I just don't mess with it. But I'm also a guy who, really likes to do a very simple design. So, go as crazy as you want. You probably wouldn't be listening to this episode this far if you were an honest, good designer. So you get what I'm saying. But yeah, using the rectangles behind the text is awesome. Number eight, put an empty frame around the second word. So an example of this, if you know Russell Brunson's book, ExpertSecrets.com Secrets, or Traffic Secrets. Basically, anyone who's ever made anything secrets, they did it because Russell Brunson told them to, including me with my original podcast, Instagram Marketing Secrets. And what they usually do is put like this rectangle, like just an empty frame rectangle. So, just a white border essentially around the second word. So, for example, if I was like putting like, marketing secrets, the word marketing would just be normal. And then the word secrets would have a white rectangle around it, but this is just like an empty frame, not filled in. All right, so it's just a very simple design trick that usually looks really good. Number nine is never to end a paragraph with one word on the last line. So whenever you're writing any, and this again applies across the board, it looks weird if you have like this body paragraph and there's like 10 to 15 words for every line, and then that last line just has one word on it. So in those cases, I just always change the wording or move the second to last word onto the bottom line with it, just to not make it such a huge drop off just one word on the last line of text. Number 10 is to match font colors with words that embody that color. So for instance, if you were making a post that was like organic marketing, it would be weird if that word organic was not green, right? Like if it was like blue, or like blue for like organic marketing, or it was like red, or it was just like all white organic marketing, it just would look weird if the word organic was not green, right? So go off of whenever you can embody the word with a color. This is like the one exception that I ever make my text not white. So if it's like increase sales, I'd probably do sales in green. If it was, this cryptocurrency is about to tank, I'm probably gonna make that in red. So make it embody what you're trying to do, because this will convey more emotion in it, even again, subconsciously. Number 11 is to use an outline around products or yourself. So I especially do this with thumbnails. If you're going to do a thumbnail and you're like pointing to something, you're doing a reaction, it's really good if you put an outline around yourself, even if it be, so on Canva, how you would do this is you click on yourself, you click on edit image, you click on the effect that is called shadows, and then you click on glow. If you just do that and just use the default settings on glow, it will just put this black shadow behind you, and it will really make you pop off the screen. And 3D elements to your images is the simplest way to create a scroll stopping feature without being a good designer. Just say, what can I make pop off the screen? And you can do this in a lot of different ways. Like you can do multiple layers, right? You could have yourself there, and then you got the shadow behind you. And then obviously there's the background, but then in between you and the background could be another thing. So then they can see like there's like three layers in that case, and it looks like it's popping off the screen more. Whenever there's some kind of 3D aspect to your image, that is a scroll stopper. Number 12 is to choose color combos with a color calculator tool. Now, this is not something that I live by super strictly, but this is great for if you're ever selecting colors and you really can't figure out how to like find two complementary colors. It's not hard to complement blue with white or green with white or yellow with black, right? That's why I have that rule with my text. But if you're ever trying to do like green text on blue, it's like, what exact green should I do and what exact blue should I do? So you can use this thing called a color calculator wheel, and I'll link it in the description. It's sessions.edu/color-calculator, sessions.edu/color-calculator. And you put in an input for like, this is the red that I'm trying to find a complementary green with. And then it will tell you like, here's the exact opposite of that red. So if you want to use the exact opposite, which is usually the way to go, then here's the exact opposite of that red in green color. So you can always use like the complementary ones, and they usually just look really good. So if you're ever stuck on choosing colors, go to that. And then the 13th and final tip is that black/white design can look harsh. So for those of you who like to be really simple with your graphics like myself, and sometimes don't even do a third color, I'm just doing black and white. Doing a black background with white text can actually be kind of harsh on the eyes, or doing a pure white background with, you know, jet black text can also be too harsh sometimes. And people will never really complain about this, right? This is all subconscious, but you can slightly increase the time that someone spends on your website by using just slightly off black with white text or slightly off white with black text. And if you watch the YouTube video, you'll see that all the infographics I've been using this whole time are actually, it's not a 000000 background, which is black, right? So if you've been in design at all, you know that 6 Fs is white and then 6 zeros is black. I don't use black 000000 background. I use, in this case, 121212, or I'll use 171717 a lot of times for that black. And then I use a pure white text. But that oftentimes just is a lot easier to read. It looks like it's black white, but then when you really compare it, you can see what I mean, that stark contrast is sometimes a little bit too much. And that's also why with the color wheel, once you find the exact opposite of that color, you might still go a little bit off of it because it might just be a little bit too sharp, having the exact opposites of colors right next to each other. So again, if any of this doesn't make sense, just check the YouTube video, DM me on Instagram as well if anything doesn't make sense on any episode, and I'd be happy to elaborate. It's at socialbamboo_. But hey, you might as well pay me a follow at the minimum, because like I told you, this episode was the shit. And like you told me, you would subscribe and 5-star it if it was. So hey, a deal's a deal. You gotta do it. But hey, I got more episodes for you for free next week for doing so. I'll talk to you then.